Okay, so we are the Neil Perek Yud Aleph. We're up to Pasik Yud Beis. Let's go back one Pasik. Pasik Yud Aleph. We're in the middle of these wars, these major wars between the north and the south. To recap, the Malach is showing Daniel a vision of what will take place. Biachris Hayom. Well, in the not so far future, from the time that the Malach is speaking to Daniel, there will be a person by the name of Alexander Mokdon, Alexander the Great, and he will conquer the Malchus of Paras, and then he will die. His Malchus will be divided into four parts, and from those four parts, the two major parts will be the king of the north and the king of the south. So we learned a whole series of psukim describing various wars. There will be a continuous, constant struggle between the north and the south, the king of the north and the king of the south, for dominance over the region. So Pasuk Yidav spoke to the middle of a war, V'yismamar melech ha-negev v'yotza melech ha-mimo in melech ha-tzafon. Here at one critical point in time where there will be a bitter war, the melech ha-negev will fight bitterly against the northern king. The northern king will come down to attack, and the king of the south will defend himself. This is Talmai, one of the early Talmais. There are about 8 or 9 of them, if I'm not mistaken, and one of the early Talmais will fight bitterly back against the north, the Yotzav and Ilchamimo in Melech HaTzafon. The Melech HaTzafon, I'm reading Pasuk Yud Aleph, from reviewing we did last week, Pasuk Yud Aleph. The Melech HaTzafon here is Antiochus. This is Antiochus, similarly the first, or somewhere along. It's not really clear in different opinions exactly how to read history into these psukim, but one of the northern kings, which was one of the early Antiochus, the Hamid Hamon Rav, and the northern king, according to the Mitzudos, the Melech Tzafon will assemble a very, very large army, the Nitan Hamon Biyodo, and this large army will be delivered into the hands of the south. The king of the south, Talmai HaMelech, will prevail, and this large Hamoin, large multitude of soldiers, this large army that has been assembled by the northern king, will be delivered, this Hehamon Biyado, in the hand of the king of the south. Pasuk Yud Beis, V'nisa Hehamon, and V'rom Levavo, he will carry away. V'nisa means to carry away. Look at the Mitzudos David, Pasuk Yud Beis, V'nisa Hehamon, Melech HaNegev, Yisa Hehamon La'atzmo, he will carry away this large army for himself. V'yivyecha Bashevi, he will bring them into captivity. He will capture this massive army. U'v'zeh, and when that happens, he will get V'rom Levavo, he will become extremely arrogant. He will, like it says in the Torah about Klal Yisrael, Chas Hashem, that if they get too successful, they get arrogant and they get carried away with themselves. V'hipil ribaos, and in the process he will conquer ribaos. Good morning. Ribaos are tens of thousands of soldiers will be conquered in the hands of the south. But v'lo yo'os, he will not achieve the ultimate might. He will not win the war. He will win the battle. What's the expression? You can lose the war. Win the battle, lose the war. That's exactly what it says over here. That's exactly the theme of Pasuk Yud Beis. He will win the battles, but will not win the war. V'lo yo'os. Look at the Mitzudah Stavit Pasuk Yud Beis towards the end of the Pasuk. Let's read the whole thing again. And when that will happen, although he was successful in conquering Kama Rivos, many 10,000s of enemy soldiers, Mehamon Shalmelech Tzafon, Im Kozeh, Lo yischazek limsholboy, he will not succeed in ruling the north. He will not succeed in conquering the entire region. Why? Simply because of his arrogance. And Hashem does not tolerate arrogant leaders. Hashem always, at some point in time, will bring them down. Okay, Pasuk Yud Gimel. So the Melech Tzafon is not going to take this sitting. He's not going to be happy that his Hamoin, his tens of thousands of soldiers, have been captured by the Melech Negev. So what will he do? He will put himself back together. Veshav, he will counterattack. Veshav, he will return Melech Hatzafon. Vehemid Hamon. And he will once again assemble an army, a multitude, a large number of soldiers. Rav min Harishon, even more than there are, greater than the army he had before. But what will happen? Ulikates ha'itim at the end of days, at the end of a certain period of time, ha'itim shanim yavo, ha'itim at the end of a number of years, at the end, ha'itim shanim, number of years, yavo vo, he will come once again, he will return, he will enter, v'chayil gadol, with a very great army, uv'ruchush rav, and cavalry, and possessions, and weapons, elephants, what?
Resources.
No, v'ruchush rav. Now, this is not loot. This is an army. He's now going to attack. An army, you need two things. You need weapons and you need soldiers. He will return with an army, v'chayil gadol, with a great army, v'ruchush rav, and resources. Weapons and tools and elephants. In those days, there was a tank? The equivalent of a tank was an elephant. Elephant. So that's what they used in those days, these large elephants to attack. Let's see, Pasuk Yudgimel Mitzvah Destavid, Yudgimel Min HaRishon, Yoyis Min HaRishon Shnacho Melchama, more than what he had originally, which fell in the first war, he will counterattack and will regroup. Ulikates Hoitim Hashanim, Ulisev Zman Shanim, after many of years, Yavo Bo, Yavo Ibia, he will enter, Bechayil Godol, Uvenechasim Rubim, Mikesef Zhav, with a lot of wealth of silver and gold, and he will come to attack once again the south. Pasuk Yud Dalit. Okay, Pasuk Yud Dalit. Let me just see if anything important left on the Rashi. Okay, let's go pasuk that. Now, here, this is a very important pasuk. Every pasuk is important, but this is very interesting. Uvi'itim ha'heman, during that time, during this war that we are discussing, this war, Rabim Yamdu al Melech HaNegev. It will not just be the northern king. The northern king will form an alliance with many other city-states in the region. That's what it says. Yamdu, it will stand al Melech HaNegev, against the Melech Negev, one of the kings of the south. And then who will be? And that's what's going to happen. Now, what else will happen during this period of time? Uvenei paritzei amecha. Paritzei means those who make breaches of your nation. Who is the nation? Seemingly, this is Klal Yisrael. This seemingly is one of the reasons why we have this long introduction from Pasuk Aleph all the way into Pasuk Yodal, because everything ultimately leads to Klal Yisrael. So at this point in time, the Paritzei Amcha, the wicked people of Klal Yisrael, Yinasu, they will raise themselves up Lehaamid, to establish chazon, a vision. But what will happen? V'nichshalu, and they will stumble, they will not be successful. Now what exactly does all of this mean? So let's have here first the mitzvot, then we'll read Rashi. And it should be noted that Rashi has been censored. We don't really have the real version of Rashi, because the Christians have laid a heavy hand on our Rashi. But let's see the Mitzudos Yudal. Mitzudos is very vague. It could very well be that what he wrote was also censored. It was also changed. Yudalid, Rabim Ya'amodu, during these times, many people will stand. Milvad Melech Hatzafon, besides the northern king that is in a constant state of war with the southern king, Yamdu Oid Rabim HaMelech HaNegev, other nations will join forces with the northern king, this northern part, these are all the Yavanim. We're dealing over here with the period of the Yavanim. They will all join with the northern king, and they will attack the southern king, the king of Egypt. Uvenei, and then what will happen at this point in time? Bnei paritzei amcha, ratzulaymar, rishei Yisrael. That's all it says here in the Mitzudos. The wicked people of Yisrael, yinasu, yiraymimu es atzman. They will elevate themselves, lehaamid nevuah, to establish some form of prophecy. Now we have to be understand that prophecy is long over. Prophecy came to an end at the beginning of the building of the Bayis Sheni, which was during the time of the Persians. By the time we got to Alexander the Great, there was definitely no more prophecy. Shimon HaTzadik, who met Alexander the Great, was not a prophet. He was a Kohen Gadol, and he was after the end of Haggai Zechariah Umalachi. Zechariah Umalachi died, it's not clear exactly when, but during the building of the early period of the Bayis Sheni. They assisted in the building of the Bayis Sheni, and then they died. So the Persians did not live into the Bayis Sheni more than 34 years, if I'm not mistaken. There were 34 years after the time of the Bayis Sheni when the Persians were still in control of the Bayis Sheni, until Alexander the Great dissolved the Malchus of Paras Umadai. And at that point in time, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi were no longer living. Now, after Alexander the Great comes to power, he dies, the Malchus is divided. We have over here we've gone through already almost 14 psukim, and these 14 psukim are pretty much describing approximately a 100-year period of time of various wars between, after the Malchus is divided between the four different kings, four different leaders. There's the leader of the north of Eretz Yisrael in Syria, Antiochus, that whole line, and then there is the line of Talmai HaMelech in the south in Egypt, and these two kings dominate the region. They're fighting with each other for seemingly at this point for about 100 years. They and their children, their grandchildren, and all the alliances of marriage and so on and so forth. A very complex history which is being summarized here in a couple of psukim. Which, again, everything is not so clear. You have to read history into these psukim. And then, suddenly, during one of the worst wars, there will be Jews, Rishoyim, who will attempt to say that the prophecies of Yeshaya, of Hosea, the Treosar, of Yechezkel, and Yirmiah have come true. They have come true. And they have come true in the form that Mashiach has come, and look at the pasuk. Lehamid chazon. They will elevate themselves. These are wicked people. Paritzei amcha, the people who have made breaches in the sanctity of the Jewish people. They are elevating themselves, and they are coming lehamid chazon to establish, to make it known that the vision, the prophecies of all the prophets, which are long gone, have died long ago, have now come true. Or it can also be interpreted to mean that there are new prophets. Let's see again. One time the words of the They're going to try to establish these visions. They will die. They will perish. Who are these people? These are the shluchim, the messengers, asher nibu oz olav, which they claimed that the prophecies of the early prophets were said shehu hamashiach hamiti, was the true Mashiach, the olav nibu hanavim, and upon this person, the followers of this person claim that all of the prophets of the previous generations of Yeshaya, Yirmiyah, Yechezkel, Treyosar, they have said all of the psukim have been fulfilled in this particular individual, the humtsu bavur zeh, and ultimately the prushim, the people that are true to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they will prevail and they will put this person to death. Let's see Rashi first. Then we'll discuss this briefly. Rashi pasuk yudalid. Rashi, like we told you, has been censored, and we don't really have the real text of Rashi. Uvrei pritzei hamcha yinasu lahamil chazoin reisi b'sefer abisad yishazo pritzei Yisrael v'siasam. Okay, what he's alluding to are the Christians. What he's alluding to is Yashka. Now, this is very difficult because according to the non-Jewish sources, Yashka came to be about 68 years before the Churban Bayis Sheni.
The Roman period,
correct. The Romans dominated for the last 103 years. The Romans were around, were making trouble all along, we should be aware. During the entire time of the Hashmonaim, the Romans were there. They already were building up. We have to, if you match the Romans, they were always there with Yevon, except they were not dominant until much later on. But the last 103 years was clearly dominated, the Yevonim dissolved, and the world was dominated by the Romans. And in 60, I think if not mistaken, 68 years before the Churban Bayis Sheni, is when they claim Yoshka was born, Yeshu Hanochi was born, and the entire story of all of the events that they claim happened in that period of time before the Churban Beis Hamikdash, then with his death, and with his death starts, well, the year still, the Beis Hamikdash, the Churban took place in the year 70 after the Common Era, which puts everything, the whole calendar is based upon his life and death. Fine. But there's a very big problem with that. And this Pasuk, if we interpret it to refer to Yashka, that this pasuk here is telling us that during those times, it's putting the birth and the story of Yeshu Hanotzri about during the Greek period, which is at least 100, if not 150 years earlier than what they claim. Because we're going to see soon, if we read the psukim, as we continue to read these psukim, we're going to soon see the miracle of Hanukkah. The miracle of Hanukkah is coming up next, is being predicted by Daniel, by the Malach Daniel, in the next few psukim, at least according to the simple interpretation, which is the Mitzvot and Rashi, it's not yet happened. And yet, it's telling us here, if we read the psukim in order and sequence, that we're dealing over here with Yeshu Hanotri, and Yeshu Hanotri, his origins come before the Tekufa of the Chanukah miracle. The Chanukah miracle happened smack in the middle of the Bayis Sheni. The Bayis Sheni was 420 years. Approximately 200 years into the Chanukah miracle is when the 200 years into the Bayis Sheni is when the miracle of Chanukah. And a little bit before that, about 50 years before that, whatever it was exactly, was the episode of Yeshu Hanotri, who ascended, who led away, was Nesis Umediach Es Yisrael. He claimed to be, he was the Mashiach. And all of the prophets, what?
He came much later.
That's the problem. That's what we're coming to.
So it isn't the message, it's the timing.
It's the timing. So there are many, there are a number of answers. Okay, one answer, which is a cop-out, is that Ein Muktam U'Me'ucha B'Torah. That, for whatever reason, this pasuk here is really alluding to what's going to happen in 150 years from now. Why then is it presented here in these sequence of psukim at this moment in time, which according to the simplest understanding is before the miracle of Hanukkah? It's 150 years before this event actually occurred. Okay, Ein Muktam U'Me'ucher B'Torah. There's no precise order. This is a vision. It's hard to understand. Perhaps at this moment in time, the seeds were planted, which would ultimately lead to the blossoming of this mishagas of believing that there, the nevuah, the prophecy has come, that we have here Melech HaMashiach. A lot of this has been lost. A lot of the factual data, the history, has been lost. Everyone agrees to that. That's a fact. And the ones who actually deliberately destroyed it were the Christians. We know that. Because they covered up a lot of the lies, and a lot of the history had to be destroyed, and it was whitewashed and rewritten and reinterpreted and so on and so forth. But the seeds, if it's true that Yoshka did appear later on the scene 150 years from now, the reason why it's being presented here is because not everything is in order, but yet the seeds of what will happen already began to take root at this moment in time. That's one approach. Another approach is that there were two Yoshkas. And there's a lot of discussion. Hopefully, when we come to closer to their holiday, we'll have a session. We'll talk about Nittel, and we'll talk about I came across a very good sefer which presents everything in a very nice, simple way. Hopefully, I'll have time to prepare something, and we'll go through some of these details. But there's a Tosfos Harash, there's a Tosfos and a lot of Mefarshim that seem to indicate that there were two Yashkas. There was a Yashka Yeshu Hanotri, which occurred about 68 years before the Churban Bayis Sheni, and that's the one that has been glorified by the Goyim. But there was another Yeshu Hanotri, and he appeared during the time of the Chashmonaim, and there's a lot of support for this. It's because his Rebbe was Rabbi Shimon Shetach, Rabbi Shimon Prachia, the Zugos. I don't know all the details. Billy Neder will come to this. There are two. This is a very, very popular approach. It's very well accepted.
We have a Mashiach ben Yosef, I think, and a Mashiach ben David also.
Okay, but there were two. Now, this is very well documented, and it's discussed at great length, because we know there's a Gemara Masech, the Sanhedrin, which talks about Ben Yeshu been taken out to be killed. He was killed Erev Pesach, and he was hung, and that was the Yeshu that appeared later. That was right before the Churban Beis HaMikdash. And then there was another Yeshu, which we know from his Rebbe, from the story. He was in Alexandria, Shalom Mitzrayim. He was in Egypt. He was together with, that's exactly what it seems to say here in this pasuk. He was during the time of the Chashmonaim, and it was before the miracle of Chanukah. The Tosfos Torah says they had the same agenda. They had the same agenda, and the later Yashka was a copycat of the first Yashka. We have that. We have a lot of that in history, where people they go to the library and they find themselves some mishugana, and they get some ideas, and they claim to do. They redo history once again by trying the same thing, not to make the same mistakes their predecessor has made. So this is nothing new, and that's a very popular approach. And that, there's a lot of source for that, there's a lot of material on that one in the Gemara that seems to indicate that there were two Yeshus, and that fits very well here with this Pasuk. And here, this Pasuk is describing the first Yetzer HaNotzri, which appears before the miracle of Chanukah. Another answer, there's a lot of research that has been done on this, is that there was only one Yeshu HaNotzri, and he was before the time of Chanukah. And there's a lot of new things that have come out today, the Dead Sea Scrolls, and there's been some new documents that have been discovered in Rome. I don't know the details, but they're admitting, there's a whole school of thought today that is willing to admit that the Yeshu HaNotzri really lived a lot earlier. The whole story of their Yeshu HaNotzri, the one that they glorify, lived a lot earlier than they originally claimed, which puts him at the same time as before the Chashmonaim. And the dates have been fudged and tampered with and distorted, and there are new things, 20th century discoveries that have opened up this whole this discussion of really when exactly did he live. So I guess if you Google this, you could probably find a lot of information about this. But these are basically three mahalachim how to make sense out of this pasuk. Well, the fourth mahalach is, this has nothing to do with the Yeshua Notri. This is a different episode which seems to be lost from us. We don't have much information. We do not want to say that this was what it says in the Gemara Masechta Gittin. It's the Gemara Masechta Gittin. That the two places we have Yeshu, in Gittin and in Sanhedrin. And if you want to say they're the same, there are problems. If you want to say they're different, there also are problems. It's a complicated sugya, but basically, we're going to have four or five mahalchim. We're going to say that this has nothing to do with Christianity, the origins of Christianity. This has to do, there were people at this period of time that were very wicked. They're called here the Paritzei Amcha. Yinasu Lahamid Chazon V'Nichshalu. They're going to make believe that they are prophets, even though we know that prophecy has been long over, and they're going to make believe that they have prophecy, and they're going to cause a lot of harm for the Jewish people, and the end will be they will stumble, they will come to an end. Does this have anything to do with Christianity? Absolutely not. What are the details of this story? We don't know. It's been lost from us historically, a lot from this period of time. We do not know. A lot of things are missing. Or we can say, no, this is the true beginnings of Christianity. And there was only one Yeshua HaNotzri. And the Goyim who claimed that he lived right before the Churban Yesheni got it all wrong. It's not true. That's false. He really lived approximately 150 years before that, before the time of the Chashmonaim, before the time of the Hanukkah miracle. And that's what this is alluding to. That's second Mahalach. A third Mahalach is, there were two Yeshua HaNotzris. There was the earlier one, and there was the later one. The later one is the one that's very popular, very well known, but he was just a copycat of the early one that appeared during the time of the Chashmonaim, which is presented in Masechta Gittin, and all the details there are found there. And in Masechta Sanhedrin, there's a reference to the second Yeshua HaNotzri. And the fourth Mahalach is that we really were, there's only one Yeshua HaNotzri that happened at a later point in time before the Churban Yesheni, and the Psukim here are out of order. And even though we are pre the era of the Chashmonaim, for whatever reason, it's already alluding to what is going to happen in 150 years from now, because the roots of what will occur have been planted. It did not play itself out until much later, but already things are already starting to take root, and the details, most of them, have been lost from us. Okay. You know, there are many, even among themselves, there are many versions as to what happened. That was one of the big criticisms of that movie by, what's his name, Mel Gibson. I didn't see it, but I what I've heard is they used to do seminars. Someone I know went there to one of the Gateway seminars, and they had a very elaborate presentation on the movie. Maybe they could have even showed it, but they went through. This is what I was told. I didn't. One of my friends went. They went through. There were many versions as to what happened. The whole story of Yashka. What's the movie called?
The Passion.
Whatever it's called, but there are many versions as to what happened, and a lot of the versions contradict each other. Mel Gibson, he took the worst. He was a malachite. The worst of all the versions and put it together into a movie, even though each version is a contradiction to the other version. If you want to assume this is what happened, then this detail could not have happened. If you want to assume this happened, it's a contradiction to this. But that did not hold him back. He took the worst of every possible account of what happened, presented it in this Hollywood movie, full of anti-Semitism, full of lies, and that's what the world wants to believe. But in any event, there's a very big...
Some people say the movie was good, it showed there were no Arabs around in Jerusalem back then, there was only Jews.
Always a silver lining.
Aramaic, no Arabic spoken.
Okay, but whatever it is, at least when you come out of today, at least you should be aware that in Daniel, in Perek Yud Aleph, in the vision of the Yevanim, we have here this pasuk, and this pasuk has a lot to do with the origins of Christianity, right here in pasuk Yud Aleph, and at least we should take that away from this pasuk of Uitim Ohim Rabim Yamdu Al Melech HaNegev. The Melech HaNegev is going to be under attack. And uvenei paritzei amcha, and at that point in time where the Melech HaNegev is under attack, there are going to be these evildoers called the paritzei amcha. Yinasu, they will elevate themselves, they will promote themselves, leha'amid chazon, to establish a vision. What does that mean? It's a very vague expression. It means something, according to the Mitzudos, is that all of the prophecies concerning the Melech HaMashiach have come true, and it has been fulfilled in a particular individual. And these people, v'nichshalu, which can be interpreted many ways, either these people will stumble, they will be put to death, they will come to an end, which we know that did not come, it's not true, they did not come to an end, they're very much alive today. Or v'nichshalu means they will cause the Jewish people to stumble. And that is definitely is true. Many of Klal Yisrael have been swept away by their influence of Christianity. They have taken away from Klal Yisrael some of the very best. That is definitely. So Rashi is not clear. Rashi, all Rashi says is, Rashi is very extremely vague. We see b'shem Rsadya, shezo peritze Yisrael, doesn't say who they are.
Rashi says,
so you already have a different gears than what I have. I told you, there are many different gears in Rashi.
They're not Jews then, according
to Rashi. Which have evolved into the Umma Shalesh. The original Christians were Jews. You cannot be a Christian unless you were a Jew. Then later on came a new rule that Adarabah, only Gentiles, they expanded and they persecuted the Jews because they're still not believers and so on and so forth. And you have to listen to Rabbi Schneer Lyman's Shir, where he describes that the first Pope, Peter, who's the first Pope?
Yeah.
Peter was really a Tana. He has these incredible chidush, like you say this, some people look at you like you're out of your mind. But he says that he is a world-class scholar. He's a genius, and he's accepted throughout the world. Oxford professor, and he has this incredible, he's done this incredible research where he says that the first pope was a Tana in disguise. And he went in undercover to take them astray. They were so powerful and they were so influential that Klal Yisrael was threatened, and they had to infiltrate one of their own and take them completely away from the religious Jews. They put him an imposter. He was a Tana, and before he went out, he made them promise as a bezdin and all the time that he will not lose his chelik in Olam Haba for what he's about to do. And he basically gave up religion as we know it. Maybe he was in secret. He was Shomer Shabbos in secret. We don't know what he did. It's not likely. And he went in and he created a whole new religion. And he even goes so far to say that he created the English alphabet. And in the English alphabet, he put a code. L-M-N. L-M-N is, L is, L means a god. L-M means aim, is the nation. N means ayin, ain. The god of this nation is nothing. Yashka is the god of this am, of this aim. It's ain. It's nonsense. This is what he says. I'm not making this up. Listen to the tape. It's very bizarre. L-M-N.
It's the same name.
L, no, so he says he made a new language. He completely wanted to separate these people from the Jewish people and they should not cause them any trouble because they were too close. There was too much influence and they were winning the battle. Okay, but that's a much, much later point in time. Yeah, if we go back to the early Christians, that's what he says, that you could not tell who was a Christian and who was a regular Shomer Shabbos. It was a secret. You appear to be a full Shomer Torah Mitzvos, but secretly you believe that so and so Mashiach has already come and he's coming back again and he is Mashiach and so and so. There's a secret Mashiach among the dead. What? You know, a lot has been said about that, but
lives. He is present and sleeps.
But let's at least take out of today this very fascinating yisoid here in Pasuk Yud Dalet.
Like you said, he made the mass. You
know, yeah, Shem Peter
made the mass. In
yeah,
Latin.
Yeah.
That's what it means that he changed the alphabet and he wrote their language. He means that they made the mass in Latin.
In Latin.
Right.
Uh-huh. Okay. You know, until very recently, mass was only in Latin.
Yeah,
this is a new thing. A new thing in America. America became Reform. It's a new thing right there going. And, you know, it was a very Kiddush. That was one of Isaac Lisa, have you heard of Isaac Lisa?
Yes.
Isaac Lisa.
Right.
So he was one of the first Rabbanim in America, and one of his innovations, which got a lot of flack, was he changed the drasha. You know, the drasha is like chlavil, is like mass. It used to be sacred. A rav gives a drasha on Shabbos, the sermon on Shabbos. It's sacred. This is like, you know, the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the drasha was in Yiddish. The drasha was not, he was an innovator that in America we can no longer have drashas in Yiddish. The new generation does not relate to it. It has to be in English. And it was a shock. It was like...
Exactly,
because traditional, whatever it was. And
foreign don't think of Yiddish.
We don't relate to this. In the 21st century, we don't... But if you look at the Goyim, if you want to have some appreciation of what a Chiddush was, and why there was so much opposition, and how he was viewed by... you know, the extreme right as being already a part of the roots of reform and conservative orthodoxy, conservative Judaism is, he wasn't, Chas V'Shalom. But the opposition was like, what are you doing? You're changing the drasha into English? Now, we laugh at this. Well, of course, people have to understand what you're saying. But go look at the Goyim. They understand this, that even, like you're saying, until 50 years ago, among the Goyim, there was no such thing as going to a mass on a Sunday in a church that wasn't in Latin. Mm-hmm. Who understands Latin? No one. But that's the way it is. So the drush also was in Yiddish. You want to change into English? What are you doing? You're corrupting the Minhag Yisrael. All right, but whatever it is, let's go further. Pasuk Tezvav, V'yavai Melech Hatzafon. Now we go further in the history. Now we're soon coming to the miracle of Chanukah. V'yavai, that then is going to the war. The king of the south was extremely successful. And then the king of the north comes back and attacks. V'yavai Melech Hatzafon, V'yishpach Soylullah. He will pour a rampart. A rampart is a fortified city. You build a ramp. You bring in all of your soldiers and you pour earth to create a ramp so you can just march over the wall of the city. The Yishbaich and you, they would pour solila, a ramp up against the wall of a city. The Lochad Ir Miftsaros, and he will conquer the fortified city. The Ir Miftsaros, so here it's the Ir is Blushan Yachid, but then it says Miftsaros plural. It appears some type of fortified collection of cities. Uzuraos Hanegev Lo Yamodu. And the might of the south will not withstand the onslaught. The Zeros means the might. Hanegev is the south. The strongholds of the south will not be able to defend themselves against the power of the north. The Am Mivcharov, and this refers again to the south. The nation, his chosen people, will not be able to restrain themselves. The Ein Koyach Lamod, and they will again, many expressions describing the same thing, that they will not be able to defend themselves. Let's see the Mitzvah Pasuk Tezvav. The Yishbech Sayla, the king of the north will pour Al Mivtsarei Melech HaNegev on the fortifications of the south, Uzroyas HaNegev, Anche Zeroho, the strong men, the Oizroth, and those that come to his assistance. It appears that the king of the south would hire, this is very common in ancient times, you would hire nations to defend yourself. The United States needs some help in the region, so what do? You go to the Chinese. We'll pay you billions of dollars and send over, how many billions of people live in China?
Mercenaries.
Yeah. But we tie to mercenaries. I think in our minds, and at least I do, mercenaries, it's like 50, 100. How many? We're talking about millions of people. You need billions of mercenaries. You hire a nation. We have a war to fight. We're not going to send our young men into harm's way. We'll call up China. China, you have billions of people. Send over a few million people. Most United States can provide. We can send 50,000 soldiers. We need a million people. So China, you have a few billion people. Just send a couple of million. Help us out. That's the way it worked in ancient times. We'll pay you. We'll pay you to send your people, and this will be their parnasa to help us win this war. So today it doesn't go like this. But that's how things worked in ancient times. Uzrois HaNegev, Anshe Zero, the Oizrof. And those nations that came to their assistance, Lo Yamdu Bimulchama, they will not stand in war, they will die. Even ki yihyu imo b'muchama hahi, even though that in that battle the king of the south will have with him mivchurav, the best, the chosen people, hahi bibachure giborav, the young mighty men, imo afal pikein lo yihya koyach b'hem, they will not have enough power, lamoid ulaschazik b'muchama, and they will die, they will be defeated. Pasik tez zayin, let's just see. Okay, let's just see a couple of next pas. Pasik tezayin, vayas haboilov kiritzono, and the king of the north will do the one that is coming against the south kiritzono as he wishes. And there's no one that's going to be able to stop. He'll be able to succeed and conquer and prevail. And now we come to the miracle of Chanukah. The Yamoid Be'eretz Hatzvi. Now at this point in time, who was this northern king that we are discussing? We'll see according to Rashi, that the northern king that we are discussing now has been Antiochus HaRosha, which was, Chazal is always called this Antiochus HaGodol, which was one of the earlier kings of Antioch, one of the earlier kings of Syria, one of the Greek Syrian kings, and is known in the secular history as Antiochus the Fourth, is known in Chazal as Antiochus HaRosha. And somewhere in between there are other Antiochs. But in Chazal is Antiochus HaGodol, and Antiochus HaRosha. I'm not exactly sure which one of the four is the one that's called HaGodol. Could be it's the first. Could be it's the first. Because the third, Antiochus the Third, was very good to the Jews. He was very kind to the Jews. And that's not the one that we're discussing. We're discussing here the fourth, the Rosha.
It's called Antiochus Epiphanes.
Which one? It's the fourth?
Yeah.
And who was the general? The general was called... What?
Oh, there was Nicanor.
Nicanor?
Nicanor.
He wasn't later. Nicanor was later, I think.
No, Nicanor was first.
No,
and Bogus was second.
Who was that fourth second?
During the time of the Chanukah miracle, who was the general?
Antiochus. Yeah. Nicanor came first. He was killed by Yochanan.
Okay, so and then?
Bogus was the second one.
Second one, okay. There were two generals.
But there was also Holofernes.
Okay, I'm not, okay, these are all, that's I can't even pronounce
the
these
story,
names.
That's the one that the story of Yehudas.
Yeah, so Yehudas, that's the question, when did the story of Yehudas happen?
I read Megillas Antiochus this morning.
Wow. Okay, let's see. Vayas haboy lov kiritzoyne. So here the king of the north will come. This seemingly is Antiochus HaRosha. Kiritzoyne will do what he wants. And then after he succeeds, he will set his eyes upon the Jewish people. The Yamad be Eretz Hatzvi. Eretz Hatzvi always refers to Eretz Yisrael. It's the Tzvi means the beautiful, the desirable, or the famous manager is compared to a deer. A deer, the skin expands to accommodate the basar. Klaishol, how can it contain so many people? The land expands to contain its children. The cholav yado means it will attempt to destroy with its hands. Let's see the mitzudas and we'll see Rashi. Pasuk tezayin in the mitzudas. Habo a pasuk tezayin. Habo ilav. Melech HaTzafon, Habo HaMelech HaNegev, Yasebo will do Kiritzono, Ve'ein Mi Yamod Lufonov, and there will be no one able to hold him back. V'Yamod, Yamod B'Mulchama Al Eretz Yisrael, will stand in war against Eretz Yisrael. Oh, so now he's coming to cause harm to the Jewish people, this during the time already of the miracle of Chanukah. V'Chola B'Yadov, Yashchisa B'Koychai. Indeed, he will destroy, and he did. He brought great destruction, Eretz Yisrael. For 3 years, the Beis HaMikdash was bottled. There was nothing going on in the Beis HaMikdash for 3 years. It was completely under the control of the Yavanim and the Hellenized Jews, some of the Jews that joined force with the Yavanim, the Mesyavnim. The who? Antiochus Melech Yavan. Ulamalchus Achas Techoshevim Roma. Now the Mitzudos is going into something very controversial. He's really following the Lashitasa of the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra learns that Rome is really part of the third Malchus. And Antiochus, we're going into some historical facts, that already during the time of Antiochus HaRosha, Rome already enters the picture. Rome is already a very powerful force in the region. They're not in control of Eretz Yisrael, they're not in control of Syria and Egypt, but they're getting there. And as time passes, their influence expands more and more until eventually they take over. They completely dominate the region. According to the Ibn Ezra, which is the opinion of the Mitzudas David, which he adopts, is that the third Golus is Yavan together with Rome. And the fourth Golus is Yishmael. This is a minority opinion. It's a minority opinion because almost every single Mefarsha we've come across since our childhood tells us that the fourth Malchus is Edom, which is Rome. And the third is Yom. But here you see already he's already sneaking in some things, which is Lishitasai Ulamalchus Achas Techashev Im Roma Kili Acharzman. Surely afterwards Lokach Roma Esmalchus Yom. Now let's see Rashi Pasuk Tezayin Vayas Hamelech Hatzafon Haba El Melech Hanegev Kiritzano BeEretz Hatzvi BeEretz Yisrael V'Chol Lo V'Yado V'Chol Lo Es Aretz. He will destroy the land BeUchlusav with his army. Okay, now we come to Pasuk Tes, to Pasuk Yud Zayin. Now this is an amazing Pasuk. The same pun of Lovo B'Soykef, he will then, after he has already succeeded in bringing enormous harm upon Eretz Yisrael, now we'll leave this maybe for tomorrow, because we'll discuss it in greater length tomorrow. I don't want to run over this Pasuk. Alright, so we'll stop here, Pasuk Yud Zayin.